the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 451. It is April the 20th, 2016. Well, today, you know, Christian's battle is your battle. It's my battle. So we're learning some valuable insights here about the battle that we're going to be waging every day as we serve the Lord. Spurgeon has just quoted a little bit of Bunyan in our last episode about Christian drawing his sword and the battle beginning between himself and Apollyon, and blows struck on both sides, but Christian's getting weaker and weaker. And then Spurgeon says this: "This is no mere figure. He that hath never met Apollyon will tell you that there's no mistake about the matter, but that there is a dread reality in it. Christian met Apollyon when he was in the Valley of Humiliation, and the dragon did most fiercely beset him. With fiery darts he sought to destroy him and to take away his life. Brave Christian stood to him with all of his might and used his sword and shield right manfully until his shield became studded with a forest of darts, and his hand did cleave unto his sword. For many an hour man and dragon fought." I think I see him now before me, that dread fallen spirit, the arch enemy of our souls. "O Satan, thou hast thrust sore at me." Many a child of God must utter this exclamation. It is no fault of Satan's if we are not quite destroyed. It is not for want of malice or subtlety or fury or perseverance on the devil's part if we still hold the field. He has met us many times, using all kinds of weapons, shooting from the right hand and from the left. He has tempted us to pride and despair, to care and to carelessness, to presumption and to idleness, to self-confidence and to mistrust of God. We are not ignorant of his devices, nor inexperienced in his cruelties. I know that I am addressing many saints of God who can use David's language with emphasis. "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, for I dwell among a tried and tempted people." The battle between the soul of the believer and the devil is a stern one. No doubt there are multitudes of inferior spirits who tempt men, and tempt them successfully too, but they are much more easily put aside by godly men than their great leader can be. Now he goes back to Bunyan. "Then Apollyon, espying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall. And with that, Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollyon, 'I am sure of thee now.' And with that, he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But, as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand for his sword, caught it, saying, 'Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise.' And with that, he gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, 'Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.' And with that, Apollyon spread forth his dragon's wings and sped him away, that Christian saw him no more." "Well, at last the fiend gave Christian a horrible fall," says Spurgeon. "And down he went upon the ground, and woe worth the day. At the moment when he fell, he dropped his sword. Behold, the dragon, drawing up all his might, planting his foot upon Christian's neck, and about to hurl the fiery dart into his heart. 'Aha, I have thee now,' saith he, 'thou art in my power.' But when the dragon's foot was about to crush the very life out of poor Christian, He did stretch out his hand, he grasped his sword, and giving a desperate thrust at his foe, he cried, "Rejoice not over me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise again." So desperately did he cut the dragon that he spread his wings and flew away. And Christian went on his journey rejoicing in his victory. Now the true believer understands all this. It is no dream to him. He has been under the dragon's foot many a time. Ah, and all the world put on a man's heart at once is not equal in weight to one foot of the devil. When Satan once gets the upper hand of the spirit, he wants neither strength nor will nor malice to torment it. Hard is that man's lot who has fallen beneath the hoof of the evil one. But blessed be God, the child of God is ever safe, as safe beneath the dragon's foot as he shall be before the throne of God in heaven. And let all the powers of earth and hell and all the doubts and fears that Christians ever knew conspire together to molest a saint. In the darkest moment, lo, God shall arise, and his enemies shall be scattered, for he shall get unto himself the victory. Oh, for faith to believe this. Back to Bunyan. In this combat, no man can imagine, unless he had seen and heard as I did in my dream, what yelling and hideous roaring Apollyon made all the time of the fight. He spake like a dragon, and on the other side, what sighs and groans burst from Christian's heart. I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look until he perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. Then indeed he did smile and look upwards. But it was the dreadfulest fight that I ever saw. Apollyon is master of legions and possesses the highest degree of power and craftiness. He who has once stood foot to foot with him will know that Christian was indeed hard put to it in the Valley of Humiliation, when the dragon stopped the pilgrim's way and made him fight for his life. No Christian will find much to smile at while he's contending for his faith, his hope, his life with this most cruel of foes. Messengers of Satan buffet us terribly, but Satan himself wounds desperately. Wherefore we are wisely taught to pray, "Deliver us from the evil one." Single combat with the arch enemy will strain every muscle of the soul and pain every nerve of the spirit. It will force the cold sweat from the brow and make the heart leap with palpitations of fear, and thus in some degree bring us to our Gethsemane and make us feel that the pains of hell have gotten hold upon us. This prince of darkness has a sharp sword, great cunning of fence, tremendous power of aim, and boundless malice of heart, and thus he is no mean adversary, but one whom it is a terrible trial to meet. In his dread personality is contained a mass of danger for us poor mortals. When poor Christian was down under Apollyon's foot, his life was nearly pressed out of him. But he saw that, as God would have it, the sword which had fallen out of his hand was just within his reach. So he stretched out his hand, grasped that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and therewith he gave his adversary such a terrible stab that he spread his dragon wings and flew away. Oh, to give the fiend such a stab as that! Let us tell out the promises. Let us proclaim the gospel. Let us publish everywhere the free grace of God. And in this way, we shall turn the battle to the gate and cause those who pursued us to be themselves pursued. Hallelujah for the cross of Christ. We bear it forward into the ranks of the foe, confident of victory. Our courage fails not, neither does our hope wax faint. The Lord who has helped us is the God of victories, and the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's the end of the particular segment of Spurgeon that we're following. Now let's go back to Pilgrim's Progress and pick it up where we left off. So when the battle was over, Christian said, "I will here give thanks to him that hath delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, to him that did help me against Apollyon." And so he did, saying, Great Beelzebub, the captain of the fiend, designed my ruin, therefore to this end. He sent him harnessed out, and he with rage, that hellish was, did fiercely me engage. But blessed Michael helped me, and I, by dint of sword, did quickly make him fly. Therefore to him let me give lasting praise, and thank and bless his holy name always. Then there came to him a hand with some of the leaves of the tree of life, the which Christian took and applied to the wounds that he had received in the battle, and he was healed immediately. He also sat down in that place to eat bread and to drink of the bottle that was given him a little before. And so being refreshed, he addressed himself to his journey with his sword drawn in his hand, for he said, I know not, but some other enemy may be at hand. But he met with no other affront from Apollyon quite through this valley. Now at the end of this valley was another called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And Christian must needs go through it because the way to the celestial city lay through the midst of it. Now this valley is a very solitary place. The prophet Jeremiah thus describes it, a wilderness, a land of deserts and of pits, a land of drought and of the shadow of death, a land that no man but a Christian passeth through and where no man dwelt. Now here Christian was worse put to it than in his fight with Apollyon, as by the sequel you shall see. I saw then in my dreams that when Christian was got to the borders of the shadow of death, there met him two men, children of them that brought up an evil report of the good land, making haste to go back, to whom Christian spake as follows, Whither are you going? They said, Back, back, and we would have you to go too, if either life or peace is prized by you. Why? What's the matter? Matter, said they, as we were going that way, as you are going, and went as far as we durst, and indeed we were almost past coming back, for had we gone a little farther, we had not been here to bring the news to thee. But what have you met with? Why, we were almost in the valley of the shadow of death, but that by good hap we looked before us, and we saw the danger before we came to it. But what have you seen? Seen? Why, the valley itself, which is as dark as pitch. We also saw there the hobgoblins, the satyrs and dragons of the pit. We heard also in that valley a continual howling and yelling as of a people under unutterable misery, who there sat bound in affliction and irons, and over that valley hangs the discouraging clouds of confusion. Death also doth always spread his wings over it. In a word, it is every whit dreadful, being utterly without order. Then said Christian, I perceive not yet by what you have said, but that this is my way to the desired haven. And be it thy way, we will not choose it for ours. And so they parted. Christian went on his way, but still with his sword drawn in his hand for fear lest he should be assaulted. I saw then in my dream, so far as this valley reached, there was on the right hand a very deep ditch. And that ditch is it into which the blind have led the blind in all ages, and have both there miserably perished. Again, behold, on the left hand there was a very dangerous quag, into which if even a good man falls, he finds no bottom for his foot to stand on. Into that quag King David once did fall, and had no doubt therein been smothered, had not he that is able plucked him out. The pathway was here also exceeding narrow, and therefore good Christian was the more put to it. For when he sought in the dark to shun the ditch on the one hand, he was ready to tip over into the mire on the other. Also, when he sought to escape the mire, without great carefulness he would be ready to fall into the ditch. And thus he went on, and I heard him here sigh bitterly. For besides the dangers mentioned above, the pathway was here so dark that oft times when he lift up his foot to set forward, he knew not where or upon what he should set it next. Ooh, is there no end, right? Is there no end? No, Christian, there's no end. There's no end to this until we get to be with Jesus. We're in warfare here. There'll be times of refreshing, for sure. Times of peace and joy, for sure. But the battle continues. Thank you so much for being with me today. And as you're looking over the website that you're on right now, I ask that you check out our Through the Bible course and the Bible commentaries that are there. There's a whole lot more on sermonaudio.com. Glad to have you here. We'll continue this battle throughout the day, right? But I mean the podcast tomorrow. God bless you. Don't forget Ephesians 6:16. You may need this before the day is over. Take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one.